Today is April 15th, and we all know what that means. It's tax day. We hope it's been a smooth tax season for you.
What you may not know is that April 15th also marks the first day that Wisconsinites can circulate nomination papers for fall elections.
That means if you want to run for a public office in November, today is the day to get on it.
Maybe running for office is something you dream about, but you don't really know where to start. Well, to help you on your quest, we have someone here to help explain the process.
For today's Teach Me What You Know segment, Michael Haas joins us. He's Elections Division Administrator at the Wisconsin Government Accountability Board. Michael, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, before we get started, when we talk about running for public office, what does that mean? What kinds of public office should we start to think about?
Well, the election this fall is for statewide offices, as well as the legislature, and there are three county offices up, the sheriff, coroner, and the clerk of circuit court for each county will be on the ballot, as well as there will be a referendum on a constitutional amendment, but those are the offices that will be up. Approximately 350 different offices around the state will be on the ballot.
And draw a distinction for us just a little bit. What is the role of the Government Accountability Board in that process, and how far down do you go in terms of locality?
Our agency administers and enforces election laws. We are the filing officer for state and federal candidates. Candidates at the local level, including the county offices we just mentioned, their filing officer is the county clerk. So they will file all their paperwork with the county clerk. State and federal candidates will file their paperwork with our office.
When one makes a decision about whether or not to run, what types of things should someone consider?
Well, it's a very personal decision, and I think our agency really has to recognize and give a tip of the hat to all candidates. It's a personal decision. It involves a commitment of energy, time, resources, money. It can take a toll on your personal life to be in the arena, but we need people to step up, raise their hand, and make that commitment. It's what makes a democracy go. I think the easiest or shortest way to put the preparation would be to make sure you are qualified to be a candidate, and then make sure you qualify. In other words, make sure that to be qualified, you need to be a citizen, 18 years old, not a convicted felon. And generally, there are some residence requirements as well for most offices.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's say I do meet these criteria. What's my first step?
There are four basic documents that a candidate needs to file if they're going to run for office in Wisconsin. First, there's a campaign committee registration statement, and that's the form that documents what your campaign committee is, your treasurer, what your bank account will be. And that's the basis of campaign finance reporting requirements in the state of Wisconsin. The second document, then, are the nomination papers that are circulated to have people sign to support the candidate or to support having the candidate's name on the ballot. Third, we have a declaration of candidacy form that needs to be submitted with the filing officer. And then fourth, state candidates need to file a statement of economic interest, and some local candidates will as well. So those are the four basic documents.
Okay. Let's break these down just a little bit. First of all, how many signatures do I need?
It depends which office you're running for. Statewide offices, which will be on the ballot, governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, state treasurer, secretary of state, those offices need a minimum of 2,000 signatures. Congressional candidates need at least 1,000 signatures. State Senate candidates need 400. State Assembly candidates need 200. And then county offices need a minimum of either 200 or 500 signatures, depending on if they are in a county that is more than 100,000 population.
As a citizen, just to step aside just a little bit, if someone approaches me and says, "Will you sign my nomination form?" If I do, am I obligated then to vote for that person?
No, absolutely not. And the nomination paper, the only purpose of that is to demonstrate some level of support, simply to have the candidate's name on the ballot.
But how many candidates in one race should I sign for?
You can only sign for one. If somebody signs for more than one candidate for the same office, the second signature will be struck and will not be counted towards that candidate's nomination papers. Mm.
Going to the statement of economic interest, what is on that statement? What types of things is a candidate declaring when they submit that?
That is basic financial information in a general sense. I would note there's a new requirement for the nomination papers that just went into effect due to recent legislation that was passed and signed by the governor. This year, for the first time, signers will also need to print their name in a legible manner, otherwise their signature will not be counted. So that's an important note for candidates to remember on their nomination papers. For the Statement of Economic Interest, that is a form that is filed with our office. It records a candidate or a public officer's general financial interest, categories of investments in a monetary range, not a specific dollar amount, but investments they have, property they own, business interests that they may have. And that's a requirement for candidates to be on the ballot at the state level and in some counties.
When it comes to submitting these forms, how is it done? Is there an online way to do that, or is it all still the old-fashioned way on paper?
Well, a little bit of both. For the most part, we need original paperwork. The nomination papers all have to be original nomination papers. The campaign registration form, it can be initiated online through our campaign finance information system website. But then we also will need the original signature, the original documents. The Statement of Economic Interest and the Declaration of Candidacy, we also need original documents.
If we're, you know, if we're still thinking about it, we're not quite sure we want to run for office, when is it too late to get started on a campaign?
I guess that depends on the office and the candidates and the supporters. This is the official kickoff from a legal perspective of the campaign season, but of course candidates may have been raising money for months for some races. And if you want to be on the ballot, though, it is definitely too late after June 2nd. That's the deadline for nomination papers to be filed. You could be a write-in candidate after that, but if you want to be on the ballot, all the paperwork needs to be in by June 2nd, with the exception of the Statement of Economic Interest that would be due on June 5th, the following Thursday.
And when are the primaries?
The primary this year is August 12th, and the general election is on November 4th.
Mm-hmm. Is there an estimate of how much time you need to devote to getting yourself on the ballot?
Well, again, I think that depends on the office. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of candidates look at the nomination paper process as an excellent way to get out and meet voters. You're asking them for a simple thing, just simply to sign nomination papers, and that can be done door-to-door or at a farmer's market or any other public event where you might see a lot of people. There are some candidates, depending on the office, that might spend their entire summer, you know, knocking on doors, and 10 or 20,000 doors. But then you also have other campaign tactics, obviously, you know, media advertising and other public events. And so I think the intensity of the time commitment depends largely on the office you're running for, obviously, if you have any opposition, and the individual candidate's choice of what tactics they want to take.
Do they have to be present for every signature that they collect, or can they send, you know, delegates out there for themselves?
Absolutely. That's a good point. The candidate does not have to collect every single signature. Most of the larger campaigns will use it as a way to help organize their supporters and have their supporters go out and collect signatures for them.
Now, it seems as though, I mean, obviously the Government Accountability Board is a resource for prospective candidates to understand how they should get their name on the ballot and vie for a public office in a valid way. Do you also serve as a resource for things like timeline and planning and I imagine not campaign strategy, but to the extent that you might help them with these milestones along the way in terms of the dates?
Sure, absolutely. For state candidates, especially, we're considered to be a one-stop shop for filing their paperwork. And we have an excellent staff that helps candidates with any questions about their campaign finance reports or what the rules are for campaign contributions or nomination papers. And we encourage candidates to call our office. We have a lot of information on our website, which is gab.wi.gov, and people can feel free to look at that website, call our staff. Candidates for county office may be better off first calling their county clerk, that because they may have more direct information related to that office.
Mm-hmm. One thing that seems like an elephant in the room here when it comes to elections is money. Money plays a role, maybe not so much in getting your name on the ballot, but certainly what happens after that and the ability to win. But does it cost anything to get started in the process, to at least get your name on the ballot?
Well, at a minimum, you would need to print or copy things like nomination papers and forms that have to be filled out. There's no rule saying you have to raise a certain amount of money. We no longer have a public campaign finance law in the state that people can candidates could take advantage of. We have, obviously, contribution limits that all candidates need to abide by depending on the office. I think most candidates would tell you the more money they have in the bank, the more flexibility they have to reach out to voters. And in the modern campaign world seems to be an advantage. There are a lot of offices, particularly at the local level, where good old effort and door-to-door and grassroots politicking can be very effective.
Mm-hmm. Any other pointers you want to offer here in our final moments?
I think specifically we want people to be aware of the new requirement to have a printed name for each signature on nomination papers. And then again, we would encourage everybody to go to our website as a resource. Some county clerks also have very good websites with a lot of information. And speaking of local clerks, we want to also thank them. They just came through a spring election with 3,500 offices on the ballot and the poll workers, and we're going to be asking them to turn around and get ready for the fall election with a lot of new election laws.
And it's been a busy couple of years for you with all those recalls coming along the way, too, in Wisconsin. So, Michael, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
That was Michael Haas. He is the Elections Division Administrator at the Wisconsin Government Accountability Board.